The Lord has set his table before us. The cup runs over. We are blessed to be in this house to celebrate this powerful meal. Let us prepare our hearts for worship. God is good, and all the time. We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us, we especially extend a warm welcome to you and want to encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You'll find those right next to the prayer cards. If you have anything that you'd like to share with our deacons or our prayer team or our staff to lift up, or if you'd like something to be on our prayer list, we encourage you to use those cards and place them in the offering plate as well. Reminder that we do have a lot of opportunities, and Dave is going to come in a moment and share about some of that. But want to encourage you to keep up with those through the salmon sheet, through our Facebook page and website. There is a lot going on, especially as we start this new school year, this new church year. We want to make sure that you are aware of those. I want to highlight one thing. On September the 25th, on the Sunday evening, we do have a fellowship meal together that the family team has put together, a chicken bog comedy night. So if you don't know what a chicken bog is, you're not from southeastern North Carolina, and that's okay. Nobody's perfect. But if you do know what it is, you know that you might be excited about that. It's chicken, it's rice, it's wet, it's delicious. And then we're inviting you to bring a funny story. It could be a true story or a Phil Thompson story. Either one is fine. You can bring a joke if you like. And we just want to share with each other some laughter, some holy laughter, as we fellowship together. Today, as we worship, we have fellowship before us, a powerful symbol of our fellowship with God, that the Father is our Father, and that his Son is our brother Christ, and his table is set before you. It is not my table. It is not the table of First Baptist. It's the Lord's table, and all are invited in a moment in this service to share in the symbol of Christ's body and the symbol of his blood shed for you, his body given for you. With that, let us let that lead us through the service of worship.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Let us pray together this morning. Father, as we gather in this place today, we gather to worship and celebrate. We gather around the table to remember. And this day is a day of remembering. Father God, we know that 15 years ago, our lives changed. And as we look back and reflect, and as we remember, we are reminded that you were there, you are here, and you will be where we go. Father God, you are in this place today. As we remember the sacrifice that your Son, Jesus Christ, made for us, as we gather around the table this morning, Father, may we be reminded you've called us to do the same sacrifice, to live a life of service for you. Father, we are asked to be challenged today by your presence. We're asked to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we're asked to be reminded by your Son, Jesus Christ. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, as you join in singing our hymn of praise, Shout to the Lord. Please stand if able.
I want to hear you sing this morning.
My comfort, my shelter, tower of
Holland this morning. You may be seated.
We are excited this morning. We're excited that the beginning of our Sunday night ministry starts back tonight. I hope all of you will come out this evening at 5 p.m. for our fellowship meal. We're going to do our fellowship meal one time a month in the fall. So I want to encourage you to come out tonight, gather around the table, and enjoy a time of fellowship at 5 p.m. We are having a spaghetti supper tonight, and all donations. A little change from last year. We're going with donations this year. All donations that are made this year, this evening at our meal, will go to support Hospice of Alamance. So a wonderful opportunity and service. So come out tonight at 5 p.m. for our fellowship meal. That will obviously be followed by our children, our youth, and our adult activities. Gay will be leading our children's music group. Our mission leaders will be leading our kids, and they're our missions time tonight. Youth, we're beginning two studies with our middle school and high school youth, beginning at 5:30 as well with Consuming Fire. And adults, you're invited to stay following the meal for a time of discussion, a time of going deeper into the scriptures lessons from today and the sermon today as Mason leads that. It's an opportunity for everyone. It's an opportunity to gather around the table that everyone's invited to. I really want to encourage you to take advantage of that tonight. I also want to remind our ministry teams, our ministry team leaders, we do have church council this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Please be represented at that meeting, representing your team. If you cannot come, please find someone on your team that can attend that meeting as we look forward to the fall. Many opportunities going on tonight. Sunday night ministry, start back tonight. Be a part of it. What a wonderful opportunity.
Well, I guess it's children's time. Children, come on down. Well, we got one. Oh, we got a couple. This is the terrible three, I hear. Trouble one, two, and three. Is this thing on? Yes. Well, I can't sit down there now. I'm too old, and I can't get back up. I tried it this week, and it was all I could do to get back up. And then I got a dress on, so that would not be a good thing. So I want to spare y'all of that. So I'm going to sit here. And would somebody like to read the scripture I have this morning? Are y'all too shy? All right, here. Come read it. Wesley. No, just that first paragraph. Read it.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."
Okay, that was taken out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. Since we're having communion today and we're not having children's church afterwards, I thought, well, let's do something about communion. And and this morning I brought a family photo album. Do y'all have any family photo albums at home? You do, Wesley? Wes? Luke? Okay. Well, I had to put one together today, last night, because my mom didn't take pictures much. And so I dug around and found some old pictures, and I got to looking through them. I couldn't find a single picture of myself. And I asked my mom, you know, my mom lives with us, and I said, "Mama, why are there no pictures of me?" She said, "Well, when I was little, I showed out so bad when they went to take me to have my picture made. I cried and I acted up so bad." She said, "Never again would she take me to have pictures." So there's no pictures in here, but I wanted to show y'all some pictures. And this was my mom and grandmother when they were little. So I found that one. Well, how'd I do this? I don't know how I did this thing. Well, I skipped that page. Well, this was my daddy right there, a little curly-haired devil, they called him, when he was a little child. This was my sister and mother and father. So I found all kinds of pictures of her. That was my mom when she got married. That was my sister when she was a baby. None of me. My feelings really got hurt. And then I had some pictures of Jerry and I. I didn't have any in my first marriage. This was when he and I got married 4 years ago. This is our family. This is my little girl. She's not little anymore. She's 25. This is my son. He's now a preacher. He's 28.
27, something like that. This is Jerry and I don't keep up with dates. There they are. That's what they look like now. So you get the picture. Except for me. You didn't see any of me. Okay. Looking at these pictures sure brings back wonderful memories, except for me. When Jesus went to heaven to be with his Father, he left behind pictures for us to remember of him. It isn't the picture album, though. We can look at that, and what we see is the Lord's Supper, or communion, which we're getting ready to do this afternoon, in a few minutes. Just before Jesus was crucified, he called his disciples together for a meal. He took a piece of bread, y'all see there, and he took a piece of bread and he told his disciples that this bread was to remind them of his body that would be hung on the cross for them. Then he took a glass of wine and told them that this wine was to be remembered of his blood that he would shed them on the cross. His blood was spilled to take away the punishment of the ways we have disobeyed God or our sins. He told them that whenever we ate and drank the wine, it was to remind us of what he had done for them. We still eat the bread and drink the wine today. When we do this, we need to think about what he's done for us. So when we have communion today, think about and reflect about what he's done for us today, okay? And thank him for dying on the cross and saving us of our sins. Let's pray. Okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this picture to remind us of what you did for us when he died on the cross. Help us to remember to be thankful and to save us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm still learning, y'all.
Let us break bread together.
Bear with me. That hymn just gets me excited. Father God, we just thank you today for just awakening us, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've given us and blessed us with, and we come to give back to you just a portion of what you've blessed us with. Thank you so much, Lord, for being merciful, but also just being a provider. Lord, we offer you these gifts of tithes and offering to further your kingdom, but more importantly, just to be able to say thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
As we come to the Lord's table, it is especially appropriate for us to take a moment and pause to prepare our hearts. Would you take this silence to make your confession to the Lord, and then I'll continue to pray. Lord, your word says that no one should partake of this meal unworthily. And yet we are all unworthy. We are all sinners falling short of the glory. And we confess freely to you that we are in desperate need, not of our own self-righteousness, but of your righteousness, a righteousness that comes down from heaven, a gift of your Spirit. And we claim and trust in that promise of the gospel that you will remember our sins no more. That you have called us worthy even when our actions are not so. So, Lord, it is in the confidence of that peace that we have with you that we come before your throne and lift up our hearts for others. We think about on this day, September 11th, the many lives so tragically lost, and the ripples from that moment that have led to so many other deaths, countless deaths, suffering, unimaginable suffering, fear, unending fear. And our only hope we know is in you, King of the universe, Master of all things, Sovereign Lord. Our trust is not in princes or leaders or politicians or governments, but in you. We pray, Lord, that you would give us peace in that, that you would strengthen our assurance of your lordship, that you have given us not a spirit of fear or timidity, but you have given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And for that, we give you all the praise and glory and thanks. Amen. We invite you to hear again from the words of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 15. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless
Is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The Lord always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen. God, as we come now to wrestle with your word, we ask that you would keep our minds and our hearts open so that whatever it is you have to say to us, we would not miss it. In Jesus' name, amen. Try to imagine where you were on September 11 when those two planes crashed into the World Trade Center towers. I was sitting in a divinity school class, of all things, and we were discussing division and hate when someone burst in the doors and said, "We're being attacked." Well, the class took a break about 30 minutes later, and there we were sitting in the lobby and saw on live television this plane crashing into the second tower. The emotions that people were feeling were so raw and rich. Many were angry, some were terrified, but all of us seminary students were asking ourselves, what kind of world are we now going out into? What kind of world are we now going to be sent forth to be pastors and music leaders and worship leaders and youth ministers and children's ministers? There was a lot of uncertainty and question. And we remember in those days following, everybody riding up and down the highway with their American flags and all of the town hall celebrations. And there was this sense that maybe the one silver lining in all of this is that we were going to finally come together as a people, be united. Fast forward to today, and would you not agree that we are probably more divided than we ever have been in the history of this nation? But not only that, when we look around in our world is so polarized. Everybody is anti-something, anti-each other, anti-not me. And it's become an us versus them culture, a global culture of us versus them. And you better be the right sort of us. I think it's in this moment in our history, in our global history, that I begin to appreciate in a whole new way how vital the church is. Because this is the one place where we might just get it right. We can look at our nation and our world and wonder, will we ever come together? Will we ever be one people? And we can have our doubts. But this is the place where it's possible to be one body, to be of one mind, to be of one purpose. I am so inspired by what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. And he was trying to teach them about how this symbol of bread and cup is a powerful reminder not only of Christ's sacrifice, but of the possibilities of unity, of oneness, of togetherness, of peace. He writes to them, "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." That in this, we are also reminded that we were baptized into a calling. I hear so many times people say, "Well, you're the one ordained, not me." False. When you were baptized, that was your ordination into this calling, to be ministers, a priesthood of all believers. And that calling unifies us and mobilizes us to go out with that shared purpose to change the world. He goes on to write that this calling is not one that should give us self-righteousness or pride, that there's no room for an us versus them mentality in this, or I am better than you, so let me save you. He says it's like this. He says in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What a mouthful of hope. What a mouthful of hope. This great desire that we seek out humility, not to think ourselves better than others or even better off, but that we are all in the same situation. Gentleness. I don't know how many times in my life I have seen this book become not a sword for separating bone and spirit or a sword for changing my life, but I've seen it become a sword jabbed in the direction of the enemy. A weapon, if you will. Paul says, no, it's with gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love. That you don't have to get it yet to be my friend. That we don't have to be seeing things eye to eye. And that if I believe one way and you believe another, guess what? One of us is wrong, and maybe it's me. How different would our world be if we could accept that maybe we are wrong about something? Paul says that that should give us this sense of bearing with one another, with peace, but also with love. Love. Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And here he gives us this symbol. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of who? Of all, who is above all and through all and in all. In the Lord's Supper, we were reminded that in God's kingdom, there is no other kingdom. There are no other kingdoms. There is no us and them. It's just we, his children. Everything I ever needed to learn about peace and unity and oneness in the Spirit of God, I learned from bus number 8. Those of you who know me know I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Hogwaller, North Carolina. It's not even on the map. Some people think it's a mythological location like some Atlantis, but it's there. There's even the Hogwaller Cafe and gas station and beauty salon. But there on bus 8, that was what was called the country bus. See, I went to Whiteville City Schools, and at Whiteville, there were all the people who lived in town, and then there were all of us country folks who lived in the direction that was nowhere near any other school. So we got to go to town. We got to go to Whiteville for a 2-hour bus ride. And I, bless my soul, was the first one on the bus with my brothers and the last one off because the bus driver lived about a mile further down the road. So every morning before the sun came up, we'd walk up that quarter of a mile long dirt road and stand there and wait for the bus. And then when we got home, we'd be dropped off and we'd walk back down. And there was that bus 8. You would think we would dread a 2-hour bus ride, but we loved it. Because on that bus, spending all of that time with each other every single day, we became family. And we missed each other. There were Native Americans, there were black children on the bus, Hispanics, there were preps and jocks and rednecks and everything in between. And yet we were all one. We even had our own little gang symbol. We'd do the bus 8 over our heart at school. Bus 8, bus 8. And there was, on this bus, just a spirit of celebration. We knew each other's birthdays. We knew when each other were having a hard time. And there was a code of conduct. You never fought with another member of bus 8. In fact, if you saw someone in trouble, you were obliged to stick up for and stand up for bus 8. It was this unity and peace that we maintained with one another. We all got along. We sang songs together, almost like worship. We would sing to the point where the bus driver probably was feeling his brain cracking under the pressure of all these little kids singing one more verse of the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. We told each other stories and jokes, and we even had our very own symbolic ritual. Every day, somebody on bus 8 would bring a gallon-sized Ziploc bag full of Kool-Aid. Usually it was red Kool-Aid. Sometimes it was blue Kool-Aid. And the bag would start at the front of the bus and be passed from person to person, and everyone was expected to, and it was fully acceptable for them to lick their finger, dip it, and pull out that red finger. My whole mouth's going to be red now. That was our communion. I've come to call it a Kool-Aid communion. Excuse me. By the way, did I mention we all got sick together? Oh, yeah. When one was sick, we were all sick. But this finger became even a symbol. You knew someone rode bus 8 if their finger was blue or red. You know, you raise your hand in class, you ride bus 8, don't you? As an adult, I've looked back on that and thinking about the scripture where Paul was teaching us about the foundations of peace and unity. This is really what he's talking about here. A people who spend time with one another, who are invested in each other's lives, a people who weep with each other and laugh with each other, a people who pray for each other and celebrate, a people who are bound by powerful, transformative symbols that can dominate our life. One bread, one cup, one baptism. That allowing those symbols to take a hold of our lives, we as Baptists might not see them as sacraments, but they're more than just symbols, aren't they? They have a way of capturing our imagination and pulling us together. And where it points, it's not just to the death of Christ, but where it all points to is that there is this shared purpose, the calling to which you are called, Paul says. And that this is there to remind us that we are all in that calling together. I don't know if the world is ever going to get it together. I don't know if our nation's ever going to be a unified people. But I know here at First Baptist, we're working on it. And when we take this meal today, we should celebrate the gift of unity. That Christ has done something in your life to bring you here to this place, where you have found people that you love and support and that you're going to stand with in their hard times and in their good times. That here you have found a place where the one Spirit is working and driving a people for a purpose to transform the community, to transform the world if we can. And I want us to just take this day to appreciate what we have, to be thankful for it. Today, as the plates are passed and you receive the little piece of bread and the little tiny cup of juice, I want you to spend that moment while you're waiting for everyone to get the bread or the cup to pray for those people around you, to think about the faces in this room. Look at each other. Don't bow your head down. Don't let this be a moment of individualism. But think about those people sitting around you and what they mean to you and what they've done for you. And you may not know them at all, but think about their faces. What are their struggles? What are they going through today? What are they excited about? What are they afraid of? And lift them up in prayer, in love, and gentleness, and in humility. For when Christ was in that upper room with his disciples and they were sharing in the Passover, it was a moment of moments. A moment where the whole world was about to change. Their lives were about to change. And Christ wanted to give them something that would forever remind them that they are one in the Spirit. He took the loaf and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." Likewise, he took the cup. And he blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Today, we are powerfully moved and inspired by these two symbols. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh Lord, as we come to your cup and to your bread, we give you thanks as King of the universe over all peoples and all nations, asking you to bind us together in your Spirit, Make us one in the Spirit. We pray that you would smooth out the rough places of our lives, the broken places of our relationships. Mend us and fill us with your love. A love shown so perfectly in the life of Jesus, your Son, who on that cross did give his body and whose blood was shed for us. In his name we pray. Amen. The deacons will come by your row in a moment and pass you the bread first. We want you to wait until all have been served the bread, and then we'll eat together. And then likewise with a cup, when all have received the cup, we'll drink together. They sang a hymn together. We invite you to do the same and stand if you're able as we sing, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Receive this blessing and then remain standing for our choral benediction. May the God of love, who is the author of all perfect peace, lead your steps in the way of peace everlasting, making you also an instrument of peace in this violent and divided world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.